A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry. But those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive." The Gospel of the Lord. We have this fascinating gospel text in which this time, not the Pharisees, but some Sadducees, and Sadducees were known not to believe in the resurrection, whereas Pharisees did. So some Sadducees here are attempting to make this teaching about resurrection from the dead, in which Jesus evidently himself believes, to make this teaching appear ridiculous. What about a case in which a man had many wives, or vice versa? What happens to them at the time of the resurrection? Jesus, of course, somewhat chastises them for not really understanding what resurrection is all about. In the resurrection, things aren't going to be as they are in this life. And we could say more about how Jesus understands our risen life as being somewhat angelic, and therefore even our way of being embodied will not be, as St. Paul has put it, exactly like we are embodied here and now. For St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, will ask the question, some say, what will the resurrection body be like? And he says, that's an unanswerable question. And in another place to the Corinthians, he will quote the Old Testament saying, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into our imaginations what God has in store." But today, Jesus doesn't elaborate that point so much. He does point out that in heaven, there's not marriage as we have it here on earth, nor do we have bodies exactly like we do here on earth. But he points out that even Moses believed in resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees are challenging that. They are followers of Moses. They have their scriptures. Jesus will continue in this text at a later point saying, you don't understand your own scriptures. But here, he makes the point that even Moses, in that passage from the bush, because if Moses refers to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob must be alive. And if they are alive for Moses, then indeed there is something like life after death, resurrection, whatever, because God is not a God of the dead. And if he's the God of Abraham, then Abraham is alive. Now, I think there are a couple important points for us that lie within this discussion with the Sadducees, this kind of repartee, if you will. The first is Jesus' recognition, of course, that God is a God of life, that God gives life, God creates life, God loves life, and God doesn't just therefore let life come and go. There is a future for it, that God is a God of the living, and that because of who God is, there is resurrection. That God does not just make death the bottom line about life, rather, life is the bottom line about death. There is more to life than this life alone, and there is more to death than death alone. God gives life, this current life we live, and the life we will live beyond death. God is a God of life. Now, in saying that, it makes us appreciate who God is for Jesus, that God is this God who is for us and with us, gives life, loves life, sustains us. But there's one other thing that we could say, that in many ways, we do believe in resurrection from the dead or in life beyond death because we believe in God. If we believe in God, then resurrection makes sense. It would be foolish to deny it. It would be denying the power of God and this message from Scripture. But also, one could take it a step further and say, why do we believe in future life from another point of view? Why do we even believe in God? And we can say it's because we believe in justice. This might be my perspective, but I cannot not believe in justice, that in the end, justice will be done. Otherwise, life becomes meaningless. If for millions of people in the world, their lives are filled with misery and suffering, and this is all that is theirs, then this universe is filled with gross and barbaric injustice. Now, I'm not talking about whether life is always fair. Most of us know that life isn't fair, but that's in smaller and minor ways. When we think of the history of injustice, barbarism, war and violence, incredible evils, in the end, our only way of coping with it in terms of our sense of justice is to be able to say there's more to the story than this life alone. In other words, because I cannot accept a world in which ultimately justice will not prevail, because I believe in justice in the end, I therefore believe in God who will bring that about, that the God of life is also a God of justice. And it's because God loves and gives life that we know there will be justice, because God is the God of life. God is also the God of justice. And so there's much contained in this text from the Gospel of Luke, not only intimations about how Jesus understood resurrection from the dead, but why he believed in it, because of who God was and is for Jesus Christ and for us. A God of living, not a God of death.